بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم نحمده ونصلي ونسلم على رسوله الكريم اما بعد فاعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم يا ايها الذين امنوا كلوا من طيبات ما رزقناكم وقال النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم اللهم اني اسالك علما نافعا ورزقا حلالا واسعا طيبا او كما قال عليه الصلاه والتسليم رب اشرح لي صدري ويسر لي امري واحلل عقده من لساني يفقهوا قولي سبحانك لا علم لنا الا ما علمتنا انك انت العليم الحكيم اللهم انفعنا بما علمتنا وعلمنا ما ينفعنا ان الله وملائكته يصلون على النبي يا ايها الذين امنوا صلوا عليه وسلموا تسليما اللهم صل وسلم وبارك على سيدنا ونبينا محمد وعلى آله وأصحابه وأتباعه وأزواجه وذرياته. Dear respected friends, there's a small saying in English, a small sentence that we hear, a small statement. You are what you eat. The statement is, you are what you eat. And the message behind the statement is, when you eat healthy food, you will remain healthy. When you eat fast food or fatty foods, then you will be affected like this as well. When you eat organic foods, this will have a special effect on you. When you eat artificial foods, this will have a certain effect on you. You are what you eat. This statement, my dear friends, holds so much weight when it comes to Islamic teachings as well. Our Islamic teachings are absolutely on the same guidelines as this statement that you are what you eat. Rather, Islamically, we have an even deeper meaning that spiritually as well, you are what you eat. The items you eat, the income you eat from, this will all have a great effect on you. Mufti Ahmad Khanpuri Sahib, Hafizahullah, who you were very, very fortunate to see a few weeks ago here as well in Canada, in Toronto, he says that many of the corruption that we see in society today, much of the corruption that we see in society today, old men, 60, 70 years old, they are still not getting the tawfiq to pray salah. They are still not getting the tawfiq to come unto deen. Their legs are hanging in the qabr, still they are not getting the tawfiq to come unto deen. Men 30, 40 years old, na'udhu billah, they are still engaged in zina, in adultery, at the least zina of the eyes, zina of the tongue, zina of the ears. They are still seen doing many, many acts of immodesty, many, many acts of bihayai, moving down. Newly married men still cannot leave their habits of the pubs and the clubs and the shisha cafes. The same things they used to do before marriage, they are still doing after marriage. Our university students and college students, al-aman wal-hafiz, we can't even talk about the things that they get up to. Our sisters, those who wear hijab, those who wear niqab, behind the scenes when they think nobody is watching, the things that they get up to. Those sisters who are not so much on deen, the things that they get up to. Now, those sins that university students would do, our 12, 13, 14-year-old child is doing. Behayai, immodesty. And we all know, my dear friends, what our youngsters are getting up to. What our young children are getting up to. Mufti Ahmad Khanpuri Sahib, hafizahullah, he says, one of the main reasons for all of this corruption is due to our haram consumption. The haram that we are taking in, the haram that we are eating, has a very, very great effect on the a'mal and the deeds and the actions we are carrying out. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam explains to us, إِنَّ اللَّهَ طَيِّبٌ وَلَا يَقْبَلُ إِلَّا طَيِّبًا. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is pure. Allah ta'ala is pure. Allah ta'ala is 100% clean. Allah ta'ala has not got any fake inside of Him. Allah ta'ala has not got any deception inside of Him. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is pure. Allah is the creator, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is pure. Well, Allah ta'ala is so pure, لا يقبل إلا طيبا. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will not accept anything but pure. Whatever we present to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, it has to be pure. Any deed we do, any amal we carry out, if it is impure, if it has got deception, if it has got court, if it has got fakeness inside of it, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will not accept it. I pray 2 rakat namaz, but I am not praying out of sincerity. I am praying so everybody can praise me. I am praying so my family members feel that, oh, look at this person. Even whilst we are in the wedding, even whilst we are going to the restaurant, this person, he praises namaz. I am praying my namaz so other people can praise me. I give $1 million to collection. $1 million, $1,000, $2,000. And I give this because I know that if I give this $1,000, $2,000, $1 million, then everybody will find out about it. They will write my name on the board. And everybody will find out and everybody will praise me. So that's why I give it. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala does not accept this. لا يقبل إلا طيبا. Allah ta'ala does not accept anything, but it has to be pure. Allah will only accept pure from us, my dear friends. The same way, the ibadat we are carrying out, I have got 100% ikhlas in that ibadah. I have got 100% sincerity in that ibadah. But the energy that I am using to perform this ibadah has rooted from haram. My father, na'udhu billah, he earns haram. Because of that haram, I have eaten from that food as well. So he earns haram. The food he buys is 100% halal. Slaughtered 100% halal. The bread we eat, the cakes that we eat, everything, we check the ingredients properly. But the money we are using to buy these ingredients are haram. I eat from there. I get the energy to pray namaz. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will not accept my namaz. Allah ta'ala will not accept my namaz. Even though it's 100% pure. My dear friends, today's talk will be an eye-opener for us, inshallah. And we will take heed from it, inshallah. And we will try our hardest to bring some positive changes in our lives. We learn from the hadith that even if my clothes or my food or my house or that energy I am using to perform this ibadah, even if there is only 10% haram in there, only 10% haram in there, Allah Ta'ala will not accept my prayer. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, Abdullah ibn Umar radiallahu anhuma, he narrates, مَنْ اشْتَرَى ثَوْبًا بِعَشَرَةِ دَرَاهِمٍ وَفِيهِ دِرْهَمٌ مِّنْ حَرَامٍ. Whoever buys a pair of clothes for 10 dirham, $10, he buys a garment for $10, وَفِيهِ دِرْهَمٌ مِّنْ حَرَامٍ. Not all of those $10 were haram. Not all of these 10 dirham were haram. وَفِيهِ دِرْهَمٌ مِّنْ حَرَامٍ. There is only one dirham which is of haram inside of it. There's one dirham, $1 which is of haram inside of it. لَمْ يَقْبَلِ اللَّهُ عَزَّ وَجَلَّ لَهُ صَلَاةً مَا دَامَ عَلَيْهِ. As long as he is wearing these garments, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will not accept a single prayer from him. Will not accept a single prayer from him. Let me give you an example of how 10% of my wealth can become haram. Or how did I get 10 dirham, $10, and all of a sudden $1 from there is haram? Let me give you an example. I work in the office. When I work in the office, my employer expects from me that from 9 o'clock to 1 o'clock, and then my break will happen, then 2 o'clock to 5 o'clock. In my working hours, he wants me to only concentrate on work-related issues. He only wants me to use the phone for work-related issues. He's paying me, so he has the right that to demand from me that I only use that time, I only use the internet at that time, I only use the phone at that time for work-related issues. Now there's me sitting on my computer, and I open up another window on the computer, and I put the cricket scores, or the football scores, or the soccer scores on there. Or there's me, I use the work phone to tell my wife that tomorrow, we can't go out tonight. Tomorrow we will go out to eat at a restaurant. Or make sure you do this job, make sure you do this job. I could have easily made this phone call at my work, at my break. Between 1 o'clock and 2 o'clock, I could have easily made this phone call. But I use the time that I should be at work, I use that time to do these actions. Or I am there at the office and the person next to me at the computer as well, we get into a very lengthy discussion. For half an hour we drift away from the discussion. For half an hour we drift away from the discussion. That half an hour pay I will get, that half an hour pay I will get, it is not permissible for me to take it. It is not permissible for me to take it because my employer is paying me for working hard. I'm not working hard, I'm not even working. I'm busy gossiping, I'm busy phoning my wife, phoning my relatives, I'm busy checking the soccer scores. It's not permissible for me to take it. That's how my income will become haram. Or I work somewhere and Eid is coming up, or my daughter's wedding is coming up. Now instead of taking leave from work, instead of taking leave from work, my friend is a doctor. We bring the mask together. So I said to him, I'll go to the doctor and I said, write me a sick note for 2 weeks. Because if you write me a sick note, I will give it in at work. I will get paid leave. For 2 weeks, you will give me permission. I will go to him, oh, I've got this mental issue, or I've got this issue in the leg, or I've got this issue in such a place that I can't show it to anybody else, but I show it to the doctor. Doctor's given me leave for 2 weeks. Every single penny I will get from there. Every single penny I will get from there, my dear friends, it will all be haram for me. It will all be haram for me. Or, in this country, we have to pay taxes when we work as well. But what I do is, I work for 30 hours a week, but I only show the government I'm getting paid for 24 hours. Why 24 hours? So that if I will show that I am only working 24 hours, I will be taxed at a lower rate. I will be taxed at a lower rate. So now I am earning more, I am showing less, I am paying tax less, whatever the difference is haram. Because when you came into this country, when you live as a resident in this country, when you take a visa for this country, you have agreed to abide by the laws. It doesn't matter if the Mawlana in your area, the Alim in your area, the Imam in your area, your Musallis, your best friends, those who are doing the work of Tabligh, it doesn't matter if they are all doing this sin. It is equally impermissible for each and every single person. Many times, we pray namaz, we are known as the religious people in society, but these mu'amalat we are doing behind the scenes, our mu'amalat are completely wrong. Our mu'amalat are completely wrong. And it doesn't just stay limited to our dealings. This is having an effect on our ibadah. This is having an effect on our conduct, on our behavior, on the sins we are carrying out. It is all sprouting from this haram. It is all rooting from this haram. Or, I work. It's my friend's factory anyway. So I tell my friend that, look, please, if you make it official, I'm going to have to pay so much tax. And if you make it official, I can't claim benefits. Look, you pay me 1 hour less. You pay me $1 less for every hour. If you are paying all your other employees $6, you give me $5. But don't show it. Don't make it official. Don't make it official. Now I tell the government that, look, I am not earning. I am on the benefits. So they give me a house. They put me on the housing scheme. Or they give me income, benefits. Every single penny. All that shelter is completely haram for me. It's completely haram for me. So the hadith we were discussing, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says that you buy a garment for $10 and from there 10% of that income was halal. 90% is halal. $9 that you use for that garment is halal. Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, for as long as you are wearing this garment, Allah ta'ala will not accept your namaz from you. Allah will not accept your ibadah from you. Allah will not accept your ibadah from you. Hazrat Sa'd ibn Abi Waqas radiallahu anhu says, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, and he said it with so much certainty. He's not making something up. He says it with so much certainty. وَالَّذِي نَفْسُ مُحَمَّدٍ sallallahu alayhi wa sallam بِيَدِهِ. I take qasam on that Allah in whose control is the life of Prophet Muhammad. I take qasam on that Allah in whose life, in whose control is the life of Prophet Muhammad. إن العبد ليقذف اللقمة الحرام في جوفه ما يتقبل منه عمل أربعين يوما. عمل أربعين يوما. He says many a times a servant, he puts a haram luqma in his mouth. Me and my friends were going to the restaurant. I couldn't resist it. I knew that restaurant was haram, but I couldn't resist it. And I had to go out and eat with them. I went to eat with them. I took one luqma of haram. I'm catching the flight. And the food they are serving me is very, very possible. I have opted for a vegetable meal. But in that vegetable meal, maybe the plates they are using, or maybe the ingredients they are using, they have been contaminated, mixed with haram. They have been mixed with haram. And now this luqma becomes doubtful for me. But I still partake from it. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, one luqma of halal. Not a whole chicken steak meal, or a chicken burger meal, or a chicken and chips meal. Not a whole meal. One luqma of haram enters into my stomach. For 40 days, Allah Ta'ala will not accept a single amal from me. Not just my namaz. A single amal Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will not accept it from me for as long as that luqma for 40 days. Because it's a fact as well that whatever we eat, it will stay inside for 40 days. So for as long as those effects of that food are inside of my stomach, Allah ta'ala will not accept that from me, my dear friends. Allah will not accept it from me. And when it's so what? If I have just, na'udhu billah, drank alcohol, or somebody has just eaten halal, haram, does that mean don't pray namaz? Because it's not going to be accepted anyway. No, understand? There's two types of acceptance. There's two types of acceptance. One is ada and one is qabul. One is to perform the action. To perform the action. No matter what condition I am in, I still have to perform the action. I still have to pray the namaz. Now in the court of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, it will be counted that Dawood has performed his asr namaz. That's what you call ada. The hadith is not referring to this. The hadith doesn't mean that if you pray your namaz, Allah will still write that no, he has not prayed his namaz. No. You have prayed your namaz. The farz that you had to do, it will be counted. You have prayed this farz, but you will get no reward from it from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. There will be no qabool. There will be no acceptance from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. You've performed it, but there will be no acceptance from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It's like, you owe me so much. You owe me money. I happily lent you money. And you were supposed to pay me before Ramadan. The whole Ramadan goes by. I wanted to book my Hajj ticket as well. Because you are not paying me my money, I have not been able to pay my Hajj ticket. After Ramadan, you come and give my money to me. So nobody will say you haven't given me the money. You've given me the money. But deep inside, I'm not happy with you. The same concept over here. Allah will say, fine, you've performed your namaz. But the benefit you should have got from it, the spiritual fruits and the benefits you should have got from it, the spiritual upliftment and the progress you should have got from it, you won't get it. You won't get no reward from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, إِنَّ اللَّهَ طَيِّبٌ Allah is pure, وَلَا يَقْبَلُ إِلَّا طَيِّبًا Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will not accept but that which is pure. Do you know? Mufti Ahmad Khan Puri Sahib Dama Barakatuhum, he says that nowadays ab to musalmanon ki soch mushrikeen Makkah se bhi ghat chuki hai. Mushrikeen Makkah se bhi aur gir gayi hai. He says nowadays the thinking of a Muslim has gone even worse than the mushrikeen of Makkah. The mushrikeen, the pagans of Makkah, the enemies of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, even more worse than them our thinking has become. Why? I've got a haram business. I've made lots and lots of money. Or, I earned so much money through interest. Do you know what I say? I say, oh, I'll put $20,000. I earned $100,000. I'll put $20,000 in the masjid. At least that way Allah will forgive me and the rest of the 80,000 will become halal for me. Rest of the 80,000 will become halal for me. So he says that this is such a bad fault, such a corrupted fault. You have done chori aur uske upar seena zori. You have done wrong and now you are justifying that wrong. You are justifying that wrong. Udre guna battar az guna. To justify the sin and to justify the mistake you have just made, that is even worse than committing a mistake. One is you do haram, even more worse than that haram is later on when you say, oh, it was permissible for me because I was going through this difficulty. Or because I had this problem. Or because everybody was doing it, I am doing it. You know, you've done zina, but then to justify that zina, you're justifying the sin you will get for that is even more worse than the sin you have committed. How can you justify the wrong you have done? So you've done wrong, you've earned so much haram money, now you're justifying it by saying, I will give it in Masjid Darul Salam and I will get, the rest of it will become halal for me. He says, this is such a corrupt thought, even the mushrikeen of Makkah did not have a corrupt thought. What is he referring to, the mushrikeen of Makkah? If you remember, when the Kaaba was damaged in the time of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam, before his prophethood. Before his prophethood, when the Kaaba was damaged, the mushrikeen, they all got together, all the different tribes got together, and they said, it's our responsibility to build the house of Allah again. So, this tribe took the responsibility of one side, this tribe took the responsibility of another side, this tribe took the responsibility of the bricks, this tribe took the responsibility of the clay. But before everybody donated towards the project, they all put one condition. They said, whatever we do, no matter how bad we are, at the end of the day, this is the house of Allah. They believed in Allah, but they ascribed partners to Allah. That was their problem. So they said, look, we are bad. We are really, really bad people, ill people, sick people. We do the craziest of things. But when we are building the house of Allah, we have to make sure we only use halal for it. We only use rightly earned income. If we have stolen from someone, don't use that money. If you have oppressed somebody and taken his wealth away, or you owe somebody, you are not giving him that money. Whatever money you have got unlawfully, unrightfully, nobody should use a single dirham in the house, in building the house of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So Mufti Ahmad Khanpuri Sahib says that these people, even though they weren't Muslims, they had that much decency. They had that much decency. You don't need to be a good Muslim to understand this, that I can't make my wealth halal by my haram wealth. I can't make it halal by putting it in the path of Allah. So he says that even they had that much decency that the Muslims of today do not have. The Muslims of today do not have. One great saint, he says that to put your haram wealth in the path of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is like presenting urine in the court of Allah. Peshab ko ab pesh kar rahe hai Allah ta'ala ki raah mein. Jab ab haram pesh karte hai. My dear respected friends, it's a very, very serious matter. So I was saying Allah ta'ala is pure. Allah ta'ala does not accept that but that which is pure. And this order of consuming halal, it's so important that Allah ta'ala has ordered the believers. Allah ta'ala has also ordered the Anbiya alayhimus salatu wassalam. Or put it this way, that Anbiya alayhimus salatu wassalam, they are perfect when they have been ordered to eat from halal. This order is so important that even the Muslims have been ordered to do it as well. Despite them not being angels, but because this is such an important order, they have been ordered to do it as well. So where Allah Ta'ala tells the prophets in the Quran, يَا أَيُّهَا الرُّسُلْ كُلُوا مِنَ الطَّيِّبَاتِ وَعْمَلُوا صَالِحًا. O prophets, only eat from halal. Only eat from halal, وَعْمَلُوا صَالِحًا, and then do good deeds. Allah Ta'ala also informs the Muslims as well, يَا أَيُّهَا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا كُلُوا مِنْ طَيِّبَاتِ مَا رَزَقَنَاكُمْ. Only eat, O believers, only eat from the halal that I have given to you. I want you to ponder over the sentence and the order Allah gave to the Anbiya alayhimu salatu wasalam. Ya ayyuha rusul, kulu min at-tayyibati wa'amalu saliha. Eat from pure means only. Eat from rightful means only. Eat from halal means only. And do good deeds. Allah Ta'ala could have said, eat from halal and drink from halal. Or eat from halal and feed your children halal. But it looks like two completely different orders over here. Eat from halal, wa'amalu saliha, and do good deeds. There seems to be no connection between the first and the second sentence. Or the first and the second order. There's a massive connection. The connection is, if you will do the first one, you will get the tawfiq to do the second one. If you will eat from halal, you will get the tawfiq to do saliha. And if you don't eat from halal, your income is haram, or you're dealing with haram, you're dealing with interest, or you're gambling, or you're stealing from people, or the products and the ingredients you are consuming, they are haram, you won't get the tawfiq to do wa'amalu saliha. You won't get the tawfiq to do amal salih. You won't get the tawfiq to do good deeds. And my dear friends, this is one of the main reasons why the next generation, they have gone so off track. Because from the time we came to the country, we bought a house on haram. We bought a house on mortgage, on interest. So for 24 hours, the gas that we were buying, the electric we were using, the shelter we were giving them, the beds we gave to them, they have all been in haram. They have all been in haram. So how do you expect them to act, my dear friends? Obviously, they are going to act like animals when we feed them. When we give them food that we won't even give to animals, we ended up giving our beloved children, our most valuable commodity. Our most valuable product is our children. Our legacy is our children. And what did we feed them? Haram. So obviously they will act the way they are acting today. My dear friends, when we consume haram, in this world we will have to face disgrace, and most definitely in the hereafter we will have to face disgrace as well. In this world we won't get the tawfiq to do good deeds. In this world we won't see our children happy off, well off as well. In this world, my dear friends, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, that nation who deals with interest, who deals with haram, they are inviting the azab of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. They are inviting the azab of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So in this world, disgrace. In the hereafter, disgrace. Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, وَأَيُّمَا عَبْدٌ نَبَتَ لَحْمُهُ مِنْ سُحْتٍ فَالنَّارُ أَوْلَى بِهِ فَالنَّارُ أَوْلَى بِهِ. That's any of my servants whose body has been nourished with haram, فَالنَّارُ أَوْلَى بِهِ. He deserves nowhere but the fire of Jahannam. He deserves the fire of Jahannam. Jahannam is most deserving for him. لا يدخل الجنة جسد غذي بالحرام. That body which has been nourished with haram, it will not enter into Jannah. لا يدخل الجنة. Just for a bit of comfort, just to make more money, just to drive a better car, just to live in my own house, just to live in a better area. My dear friends, we have sacrificed such an important order of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And we have engaged ourselves in all sorts of trouble. And those, normally what happens is, I am living in a rental income, and I look at my friend who's living in a good house. Or I am driving a not so good car, it gets me to A to B, but my friend is driving a 2014 car, 2015 car. He's driving, you know, an expensive car. Or I wear simple clothes, but my friend, every single garment that he wears is designer. So normally, what incites me? What triggers me to go and look for haram as well? I know that my job is not going to pay me enough, but he says, look, go onto this website, register with them. They will only want you to do this one, two things, but you will get so much money in return. But I know it's haram. I know it's haram. The transaction he wants me to do, I know it's haram. Or he's telling me, hide your income like this. What triggers me to do it? Looking at other people's lifestyle. Looking at other people's lifestyle, that, oh, he's so well off, oh, he can go Umrah every year, oh, he can do this, he can do this. Looking at others' lifestyle. Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he was the best teacher to ever come. So Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam nurtures us. Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam trains us. He says, لَا تَغْبِطَنَّ جَامِعَ الْمَالِ مِنْ غَيْرِ حِلِّ. He says, oh people, لَا تَغْبِطَنَّ جَامِعَ الْمَالِ مِنْ غَيْرِ حِلِّ فَإِنَّهُ إِن تَصَدَّقَ بِهِ لَمْ يُقْبَلْ مِنْ وَمَا بَقِيَ كَانَ زَادَهُ إِلَى النَّارِ. He says, oh my people, oh my ummah, لَا تَغْبِطَنَّ. ضرور بالضرور اب کسی پر رشک مت کرنا. جو حرام کما رہا ہے اس سے رش مت کرنا, اس سے جیلس مت ہونا, اس کو اچھی نگاہ سے مت دیکھنا. Oh my ummah, most definitely you should not envy anybody who is earning haram. Do not envy him. Do not look at his car and think, oh, if only I had a car like that. Oh, he can take his family to holiday every year. If only I could take my family to holiday every year. Or let me, you know, do the same thing he's doing, the same transaction he's doing, because then I can also go into a house like his. No, لا تغبطن جامع المال من غير حله. That person who hoards wealth, that person who is accumulating wealth without it being halal, do not envy that person. Because look deeply, use your mind. Look deeply. Don't just be narrow-minded and look at his holiday and look at his car. Look at the broader picture. Look how much of a bad state he is in. إِن تَصَدَّقَ مِنْهُ فَإِنَّهُ لَا يُقْبَلْ مِنْ. If he spends from there, Allah is not going to accept it anyway. If he spends in the path of Allah, no matter he's going for Umrah, Hajj, Allah is not going to accept it anyway. And whatever he has got left in his bank account, كَانَ زَادَهُ إِلَى النَّارِ. This is his provision taking him to the fire of Jahannam. You are only looking at the car, the holiday, the house, his clothes, the area he's living in. Don't look at all of this. Look at the bigger picture. كَلَّا بَلْ تُحِبُّونَ الْعَاجِلَةِ وَتَذَرُونَ الْآخِرَةِ. Allah reminds us in Surah Al-Qiyamah, our nature is so bad. We only look at today, tomorrow. We only think about today, tomorrow. تُحِبُّونَ الْعَاجِلَةِ. You only worry about now. You're only worried about the spur of the moment. You're only worried about, let me get myself out of this situation. So I'll lie, or I'll make this fake signature, or I'll do this, or I'll do this. وَتَذَرُونَ الْآخِرَةِ. You are forgetting the Akhirah. You are forgetting the Akhirah. You are depriving yourselves from so much good. You are making yourselves deserving of the fire of Jahannam. My dear friends, we mentioned yesterday, our du'as are not being accepted. Allah Ta'ala, we mentioned yesterday, Allah loves us so much. Allah wants us to beg from Him. Allah is saying, Ud'uni astajib lakum, ask from me, I will give it to you. Yet our du'as are not being accepted. Yet our du'as are not being accepted. We mentioned at the end of yesterday's dars, and we mentioned a very, very interesting and a very, very beneficial incident as well. And the gist of it was, because of haram, our du'as are not being accepted as well. Hazrat Sa'd ibn Abi Waqas radiallahu anhu, he came to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Ya Rasulullah, make du'a for me that I become mustajabud da'wat. Make du'a for me that I become such a person, when I make du'a to Allah, Allah will accept my du'a straight away. What did Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam say? For 40 days, make sure you pray long, long tahajjud. Or make sure every namaz you are in the front saf. Or make sure every month you go out in the path of Allah. Or Sa'd, make sure you spend on a very, very poor person. This will make you so pious, you will become mustajabud da'wat. He says, no. It is very, very simple. You want to become mustajabud da'wat? Atib mat'amak takun mustajabud da'wa. Atib mat'amak. Keep your food and your earnings pure. Allah Ta'ala will make you mustajabud da'wat. Whatever you ask from Allah, Allah Ta'ala will grant it to you. Oh, we're so easy. So easy, yet we have become so neglectful. Ignorance. We have not acquired the right knowledge. We have not understood what are our true priorities. And look where we have ended up. True priorities. Abdullah ibn al-Mubarak rahmatullahi alayhi says, Abdullah ibn al-Mubarak rahmatullahi alayhi says, that you have earned some money from haram. You have done a haram transaction. You have earned some money. Or you have got some doubtful money in your wealth, in your income. Doubtful money means, you know, you did a transaction and you weren't sure whether it was halal or haram. And you did the transaction, now doubtful wealth has come into you, into your wealth. Or, somebody gives you a gift and he's actually giving you a gift because you've done him a favor. So he's actually paying you back for the favor. And that favor was such that you shouldn't be taking anything in return for it. You shouldn't be taking anything in return for it. Now he's given you that gift, you're unsure. That, is he really giving it because he's my friend? Or is he only giving it because I done him that favor? And like I said, that favor was such that, you know, you're not supposed to take anything in return for it. So for example, Haji Sahib said that, oh, I'm sick, come to my house and lead Taraweeh in my house. Lead Taraweeh in my house. Now, I'm leading Taraweeh in the house. Now, normally, during the year, he doesn't give me any gift. During the year, he doesn't give me any gift. But the moment I finish the Quran for him, he gives me a big gift. Now, I'm unsure that is he giving me this gift because he cares about me, he loves me, or because he's doing my ikram, or is he giving me gift not out of ikram, he's giving me a gift to repay me for the Quran that I have just read to him. The Taraweeh that I have just read to him. If it is from the second category, then it is not permissible for me to take. But now I can't ask him, or I can't really differentiate. So now this wealth has become doubtful for me. So Abdullah ibn al-Mubarak says that to return $1, 1 dirham of doubtful wealth is better in my understanding than spending $100,000 in the path of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Meri nigaah mein, meri understanding mein, ek mushtabih maal, ek haram maal nahi, haram maal to usse bhi zyada, lekin ek mushtabih maal, ek doubtful maal ko wapas karna, 1,00,000 dirham ko Allah ki raah mein kharch karne se zyada behtar hai. Phir farmaya, nahi, 1,00,000 dirham nahi, دو لاکھ درہم خرچ کرنے سے زیادہ بہتر یہ ہے کہ جو حرام مال آیا ہے اس کو واپس کر دو, اس کو واپس کر دو, جو حرام ٹرانزیکشن کیا ہے وہ واپس کر دو, آپ کو نہیں چاہیے, توبہ کر لو. پھر فرمایا نہیں, دو لاکھ نہیں, تین لاکھ. کوئی آدمی ہے اللہ کی راہ میں تین لاکھ خرچ کرے یا وہ حرام مال واپس کر لے, فرماتا ہے وہ ایک ڈالر واپس مال واپس کر دے, حرام مال واپس کر دے, تین لاکھ خرچ کرنے سے زیادہ بہتر ہے. پھر فرمایا نہیں نہیں نہیں, چار لاکھ. پھر فرمایا پانچ لاکھ, چھ لاکھ تک گئے. اللہ اکبر. ایک ڈالر, دیکھو نا یہ دین کی صحیح فہم کب آئے گی, جب علماء کرام کے پاس بیٹھیں گے, جب اچھی اچھی مجلسیں میں جائیں گے, جب جو درس قرآن ہوتا ہے, درس حدیث ہوتا ہے, ان سے آپ, ان میں آپ بیٹھیں گے. یہ نہیں کہ یار چھوڑو چھوڑو نا, ان سے کیا پوچھنا ہے, مولانا سے کیا پوچھنا ہے, مفتی صاحب سے کیا پوچھنا ہے, حرام ہوگا اللہ معاف کر دے گا. نہیں, ہر ہر کام پر پوچھو, ہر ہر ٹرانزیکشن میں پوچھو کہ کیا یہ میرے لیے جائز ہے, یہ کام میرے لیے جائز ہے, یہ اسپیشل آفر آیا ہے وہ یہ لینا جائز ہے, پوچھو. تو فرمایا کہ ایک طرف ایک مشتبہ ڈالر ہے اور دوسری طرف آپ کے پاس چانس ہے کہ آپ چھ لاکھ ڈالر اللہ کی راہ میں آپ خرچ کرو. وہ فرماتے آپ ایک, وہ ایک ڈالر واپس کر لو, اللہ آپ کو زیادہ اجر دیں گے. سو ہی سیز, In my understanding, after looking at all of the Quran and Hadith, I have come to this conclusion that if one somebody has earned haram, then for him to return one doubtful dollar, it is more better for him than spending 600,000 in the path of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allahu Akbar. From this we understand, my dear friends, how important it is for us to refrain from haram. And that's why our pious predecessors, they were very, very particular in this regard. One night Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam went to sleep. He went to sleep, the whole night he couldn't sleep. Tossing and turning in his bed, moving around in his bed, in his bed, the whole night he couldn't sleep. In the morning when the Azwaj al-Mutahharat realized that the whole night Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam hasn't been sleeping, they asked, Whichever mother of the believers were with Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, she asked that you didn't sleep all night. He said, before I went to sleep, I saw one khajur in the house. I saw one khajur in the house, and I thought, look, if I don't eat it, maybe some creature will come, it will eat it, or maybe it will get wasted, or maybe somebody will just chuck it on the side. So I did not want that one khajur to go to waste. So I ate it. I ate it. When I got to my bed, I thought to myself that many places in our house, there is sadaqah in our house. There is the khajur of sadaqah in our house. And it's very, very possible that somebody moved it from here to there, or as we were moving it, one khajur fell on the floor, and sadaqah is not allowed for me. I am from the Banu Hashim, and sadaqah is not allowed for me. What if the khajur that I just ate, it was from khajur of sadaqah, and that sadaqah is haram for me? He says, just because of this doubt, that is possible is from there, the whole night Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam could not sleep. Hazrat Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu anhu, he used to have a slave, and with that slave he did a deal with him that you work as well and you pay me as well. He was a slave, he had a slave in his house, and he had a deal with him that you work, and as you work, then because you're my slave, you give me this much income, you keep this much income yourself. So many a times the slave would come with food at home as well. Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu would ask. Once this slave came with food, Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu took it from him and he ate it straight away. It was permissible for him to eat, because the income of that slave belongs to Abu Bakr Siddiq anyway. So he ate from there. The slave, he gave it, he found it rude to say anything. After a while he said to Sayyidina Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu anhu, that Sayyidina Abu Bakr Siddiq, every time you take food from me, you are very, very particular. You ask, where has it come from? With what earnings have you bought it from? Who has given it to you? But this time you didn't ask. Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu anhu says that, you know, I was so hungry. There's a famine in the house. Garme faqa hai. We're so hungry at home. I did not eat for a very, very long time. And then as soon as I saw food in your hands, I knew you knew as well not to present haram to me. So straight away I took it from you. So that slave says that, oh, Abu Bakr Siddiq, you took it from me all of a sudden. But the true reality is that in my days of jahiliyyah, I used to work as a kahin. I used to work as a fortune teller. People used to come and I used to fortune tell to them. But then I, obviously I left that job, but the person I used to work for, he owed me my salary and he didn't give me my salary. And now after a long time when I saw him, he remembered that he owes me money, so he gave me that money. And then I bought food. So the food that I bought it from, oh, he gave me food. So that food was actually from my earnings of haram. Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu anhu straight away put his finger into his mouth and tried to take it out. But what happens when you're on an empty stomach and you eat straight away, that food will go very, very fast down. So Abu Bakr literally putting his hand inside his mouth, trying to make himself vomit. But somebody who's got nothing in his stomach, how's he going to vomit? How's he going to vomit? So the companions felt really, really sorry for him. So they said, Ya Abu Bakr Siddiq, drink some water. So at least maybe when you drink the water, the food will come up. And then because they knew, we couldn't say to him that, oh, Abu Bakr, don't do this. Because Abu Bakr was not going to let it go. Abu Bakr was not going to let it go. Abu Bakr was not going to live. And he knows that he's got haram in his stomach. So they say to him, so Abu Bakr says, bring me a whole bowl of water. He drinks a whole bowl of water. And then again, forcing it out. And then eventually that one luqma, that one morsel that he ate, it came out of his mouth. People said to Abu Bakr Siddiq, oh Abu Bakr Siddiq, why did you go through so much difficulty to do this? Kyun itni mushkili? Itni takleef se aapne ye ek lukma nikala. To farmaya, agar ye lukma nikalte meri jaan bhi nikal jati na, main ye lukma nikal deta. Tab bhi main nikal deta. If I, so they said to him, you went through much difficulty to take this morsel out of your stomach, from your throat. So he said, you know what, forget difficulty. If taking out this lukma meant I would have died at the same time, I would have made sure I would have still taken it out, I would have died, but I would have not tolerated that haram state in my stomach. Because they knew, my dear friends, they knew that is if we consume haram, the effects are going to be very, very difficult. Most definitely in this world, and most definitely in the hereafter as well. Imam Abu Hanifa rahmatullahi alayh, he had so much wara, so much taqwa, he was so particular, so particular. So in Kufa, the news spread that one of the farmers, his goats have been stolen and they are being sold in the marketplace. Look at this. Look how particular these people were. Comfort wasn't everything for them, my dear friends. To obey Allah, to acquire the pleasure of Allah, this was everything for them. To refrain from haram, this was everything for them. So the news went round that so-and-so farmer, his goats have been stolen and somebody is selling them in the marketplace. Now who is selling them, who is buying them, nobody knows. But for sure, someone has got haram stock in the marketplace. So Abu Hanifa rahmatullahi alayhi, he went to those people who were more aware of animal life. So, and he asked them, what's the longest amount of years a goat can live for? What are the longest amount of years a goat can live for? That person said, a maximum a goat will live for is 7 years. 7 years. For 7 years, Abu Hanifa rahmatullahi alayh, he did not eat any goat meat. He refrained from eating goat meat, even if it was from somebody who he knew that this tradesman he's selling is definitely his stock is going to be halal. But maybe somebody sold it to him. Because of this doubt, Imam Abu Hanifa rahmatullahi alayh, for 7 years he did not eat goat meat, my dear friend. Allahu Akbar. Elaborating on this story, another alim whilst narrating this story says that then Abu Hanifa rahmatullahi alayhi found out that somebody, he actually bought one of these animals from that meat and he consumed that meat and a bit of that meat he threw it into the ocean. He threw it into the ocean. Now when meat will go into the ocean, obviously the fish will start biting into it. The fish will start biting into it. So Imam Abu Hanifa rahmatullahi alayhi, he asked again, those people who are aware of the whole, you know, fish life and who are aware of the nature of fishes, Imam Abu Hanifa rahmatullah inquired, what is the longest amount of time a fish can stay alive? And whatever amount of years they told him, or I don't know, months or days or weeks, whatever they told him, for that much amount of time, Imam Abu Hanifa rahmatullah did not eat any fish. Why? Why did he go through so much difficulty? Because he knew how important it was, my dear friend. He knew how important it was. Mulana Shafali Thanvi rahmatullahi alayh, Again, how particular they were in their transactions, because then if we are not particular, that money will become haram for us. So he is there going on a train journey. He's going on a train journey and he knew that maybe he thought that my ticket allows me a bit more, but then he realized that no, I'm not allowed to have so much luggage. So then he went to the luggage department and he wanted to pay more money for his ticket so that it can cover the weight. So for example, if one person is allowed 7 kilos, but he had 10 kilos on him, so he wanted to buy another ticket so he could be eligible and allowed to take two sets of tickets, 2 times 7 kilos. So he went to the ticket office to buy another ticket, and the person at the ticket office, he knew him. The guard at the ticket office, he knew him. So Mawlana Shafari Tanwi rahmatullahi alayhi explained the problem that, look, I never knew, or maybe I need to take this, so I need to buy another ticket now. So the guard said, Mawlana Shafari Tanwi, what are you talking about? Go, don't worry, we'll let you off. Don't worry, we'll let you off. So Mawlana Shafari Tanwi said, acha, you let me off. So then he said, I'm the guard on the train anyway, so I won't take you to account. So Mawlana Shafari Tanwi rahmatullahi asked that, okay, what station are you going to? So he said, you know, from this station to this station, I'm all the way over there. So Mawlana Shafari Tanwi says, after that, the next guard is going to ask me. He says, no, I will tell the next guard. The next guard is my friend anyway. He is on duty today. I will tell him that, look, Mawlana Sahib is overweight, but you only check one of his tickets. So then he says, okay, how long will that guard last for? So then Mawlana, he said that, Hazrat, you will go on all the way to the end of your journey anyway. Mawlana Shafari Tanwi says, no, my journey is of the Akhirat. I am actually traveling to the Akhirat. Which God is going to save me when I have to answer for this tomorrow on the Day of Judgment? See the thinking? We may do a scam here, a scam there. We may get away from it here. We may get away with it over here. But how will we get away with it in the court of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? Then he explained that if you were the owner of this company, you had the right to let me off. But you are but a worker over here. And so many people have got shares in the company, or so many different people own the company. Without their permission, how can you let me off from this? So the same way as well, if I am an adult now, or if I am, I don't know what the rate is over here, but for example, if a child can buy a ticket up to 14 years old, now I am 15, now I buy a child ticket because I know I'm going to get away with it anyway. Do you know who I've just stolen from? If the bus company is owned, and nowadays what happens is every company is owned by so many shareholders. So now if I, instead of buying a £4 ticket, I buy a £2 ticket, £2 I have stolen from so many thousands of people. I use my mobile phone, and that mobile phone company is owned by 1,000 shareholders. Now I do such a transaction, or I don't pay the bill, or I change my name and that $100 bill or $200 bill, whatever, some sort of scam that I do, some sort of thing that I get away with, I have not just stolen from one person. I have stolen from all those people who own that company. Tomorrow on the Day of Judgment, I will have to pay them back. Tomorrow on the Day of Judgment, I will have to pay them back. And you know what the currency of the Akhirat is going to be? Not dollars, not cents. The currency of the Akhirat is going to be my good a'mal. I will have to give my good a'mal away to everybody else. The same Mawlana Shafari Tanwi rahmatullahi alayh, he was so particular, he wanted to make sure that none of his staff end up taking haram as well. Because he used to run a madrasa. And in that madrasa, if the ustads are taking wealth which is not permissible for them, due to the reasons I have said, I am teaching and my friend comes to talk to me for 5 minutes, now that wealth is not permissible for me. So he wanted to make sure that even his ustads in the madrasa, they all earn from halal. Every day a register would go round to all of the teachers in the madrasa. And in that register they would write down, if for a certain amount of minutes they were not fulfilling their duty, then that much would be cut from their wages. My dear friends, honesty will take you a long way. We may feel that, oh, if I tell my boss, he's going to get angry with me. If I do this, his anger will only be for a few minutes. After that, he will respect you. He will hold you in so high esteem. And even if he does not respect you, Allah Ta'ala will love you so much. And look how particular my servant is with regards halal. Another story, Hajjaj bin Yusuf, in the area where he used to rule, there were many, many saints. And those saints were known to be mustajabud da'wat. group of saints, their du'as would always be accepted. So no tyrant king would ever be successful in that area. Because whenever a tyrant king would come, these people would make bad du'a and he would be destroyed. So Hajjaj bin Yusuf, when he became the leader, so he done a da'wat for everybody. He done a da'wat for everybody, and in there he called his buzrugs as well. And these buzrugs never knew that he's a tyrant person. Or these buzrugs thought that, okay, you know, if we don't go, it's going to be more dangerous. Let us go. After the meal, Hajjaj bin Yusuf said that now Hajjaj bin Yusuf is safe from their du'a. Because Hajjaj bin Yusuf had just fed them haram. Now they won't be able to make, their du'as won't be accepted now. So Hajjaj bin Yusuf has been saved from their haram. My dear friends, incidents can go on and on and on. The gist of all of this is, as you can see, my dear friends, is this is a very, very serious matter. Many, many of us, we are deendar, and we do so many good deeds, and we don't take heed of this, you know, the haram in our lives. So I'll quote to you a saying of Yusuf bin Asbat, rahmatullahi alayh, a very, very pious person. He used to say that when a youngster or when a person, he becomes, you know, very, very devout to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, very worshipping to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Shaitan calls his army and he asks them that find out what his income is like. Find out what his income is like, because he's doing too much ibadat these days. So if they say to him that he is earning from haram, Shaitan says, don't worry. We don't need to use any force against him. Shaitan will try his hardest to deviate somebody from the right path. And this person is so much on the right path, so much ibadat he's doing of Allah. So Yusuf ibn Asbat says that Shaitan, he tells his army, find out where he's earning from. If they tell Shaitan, Iblis, that he's earning from haram, Shaitan says, don't worry, our job is already done for us. We don't need to deviate him. Whatever he is doing, none of it is being accepted in the court of Allah anyway. We don't need to deviate him. Actually, let us let him carry on earning from haram. So he will remain in this bubble that, oh, I am doing so much ibadah. But tomorrow on the day of judgment, like Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, La tazulu qadama ibn Adam. La tazulu qadama ibn Adam. Yawm al-qiyamati hatta yus'ala an khams. Nobody will be able to move. His feet will be stuck, glued to the ground until he answers Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala five things. One of the things Allah ta'ala will ask him, an malihi min ayna iktasabahu wa fima anfaqahu. Allah will ask him, tell me about your wealth. Where did you used to acquire your wealth from? Where did you used to spend your wealth? Maybe you earned halal but you spent it in haram, or maybe your earning was haram from the first place. We will have to answer for this tomorrow on the day of judgment. How will we answer for it, my dear friends? It's going to be very, very difficult. We pray Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He grants us the understanding, He grants us the tawfiq, He grants us the willpower and the courage. Explain to your wives at home. If they are making you earn haram because they can have a better livelihood, explain to them that don't you want to go into Jannah? Don't you want the everlasting enjoyment of Jannah? Then why are we sacrificing our everlasting enjoyment in Jannah for a little bit over here? My days are very, very less. I would love to share more and more messages with you. Interest is also a very, very important topic, my dear friends. Save yourselves from interest. Save yourselves from interest. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, dirhamu riba ya'kuluhu rajulu wa huwa ya'lam ashaddu min sittatin wa thalathina zaniyatan. $1 of riba, $1 of interest, a person consumes or a person deals with, $1 of interest is worse than doing zina 36 times. $1 of interest. And we are buying our houses on interest. We are eating interest from the banks. Do you know? In the whole Quran and Hadith, there are only two places where Allah Ta'ala says, if you don't stop, I'm going to go into a war with you. If you don't stop, I'm going to go into a war with you. One of them is, he says, مَنْ عَادَى لِي وَلِيًّا فَقَدْ آذَنْتُهُ بِالْحَرُبِ. Whoever messes with one of my pious servants, one of my close friends, whoever messes with him, أَذَنْتُهُ بِالْحَرْبِ, then I am going to rage war with such a person. And the second place, يَا أَيُّهَا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا اتَّقُوا اللَّهُ وَذَرُوا مَا بَقِيَ مِنَ الرِّبَىٰ إِن كُنْتُم مُؤْمِنِينَ. Oh believers, fear Allah. Fear Allah and leave whatever riba you are dealing with. فَإِن لَمْ تَفْعَلُوا فَأَذَنُوا بِحَرْبٍ مِّنَ اللَّهِ وَرَسُولِهِ. If you do not stop, then hear the announcement of war from Allah and His Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. We are going to go into war with you. If Allah comes into war with us, where will we go, my dear friends? So we need to be very, very careful. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us all the tawfiq. Look, Those of us who until now we have dealt with haram, it's not the end of the world. Do tawbah, but tawbah is just not enough. Tawbah is just not enough. Go to the ulama kiram, speak to them. I have made this mistake. Guide me now. How can I rectify this mistake? This much earnings of mine, I know it's haram. Guide me. How? Allah Ta'ala does not want that. Leave your, if you are working in a haram place, leave it straight away. Allah does not want that from us. Ask the ulama, what does Allah want me to do? How shall I go about it? You can't just do tawbah. You can't just say, oh Allah, tawbah, tawbah, astaghfirullah. Cry our eyes out is not enough. Let me give you an example. We missed our namaz. No matter how much we say to Allah, oh Allah, astaghfirullah, oh Allah, forgive me, forgive me, forgive me, without doing qaza and making up for that namaz, will Allah forgive us? Same way over here. No matter how much we ask forgiveness from Allah, if we don't rectify that mu'amala, Allah Ta'ala will not forgive us. So consult the ulama kiram. You've got muftis in the masjid. You've got great, great ulama in the masjid. Go to them, talk to them, consult them, and rectify your matters. May Allah Ta'ala give me and all of us the tawfiq, my dear friends. Ameen. Ya Rabbil Alameen. Wa akhiru da'wana. Alhamdulillah. Rabbil Alameen. Wa sallallahu ta'ala ala khayri khalqi Muhammad wa alihi wa ashabihi ajma'in. Alhamdulillah. Rabbil Alameen. Wa al-aqibatu lil-muttaqeen. والصلاة والسلام على سيد المرسلين وخاتم النبيين اللهم أنت السلام ومنك السلام تباركت يا ذا الجلال والإكرام اللهم صل على محمد وعلى آل محمد كما تحب وترضى عدد ما تحب وترضى اللهم صل على محمد وعلى آل محمد وصل على المؤمنين والمؤمنات والمسلمين والمسلمات ربنا ظلمنا أنفسنا وإن لم تغفر لنا وترحمنا لنكونن من الخاسرين ربنا فاغفر لنا ذنوبنا وكفر عنا سيئاتنا وتوفنا مع الأبرار اللهم وفقنا لما تحب وترضى من القول والعمل والفعل والنية والهدي إنك على كل شيء قدير اللهم جنبنا الحرام اللهم جنبنا الحرام اللهم جنبنا الحرام اللهم اكفنا بحلالك عن حرامك وأغننا بفضلك عمن سواك اللهم إنا نسألك علما نافعا ورزقا واسعا اللهم إنا نسألك رزقا حلالا طيبا واسعا اللهم إنا نسألك رزقا حلالا واسعا طيبا اللهم إنا نسألك من خير ما سألك منه نبيك محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم ونعوذ بك من شر ما استعاذ منه نبيك محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم أنت المستعان وعليك البلاغ ولا حول ولا قوة إلا بالله سبحان ربك رب العزة عما يصفون وسلام على المرسلين والحمد لله رب العالمين.